Hi, everybody. Welcome to Tantra Cafe this evening. This is Laurie Handlers, your host, and you are listening to Tantra Cafe, a program for spiritual enlightenment on bbsradio.com. And at any time during the show, if you want to call in, the call-in numbers are 888-228-4494 in the U.S. and Canada, and 877-489-6350 worldwide. If you want to send a message to me, you can also click on to bbsradio.com, and in the right-hand column, you'll see BBS Fast Chat, and you can send me an email about a question for me or my guest. So this evening, first of all, Om Shanti Shanti Shanti, that means I greet you with peace, peace, peace. That's all I'm ever going to greet you with, peace, peace, peace. Even if sometimes in my life, and you're in my life, you might think I'm warring with you. I'm not warring with you. I'm making peace with you. Sometimes it's just louder peace. Anyway, I'm very excited this evening because I have a very special guest on. I'm going to tell you a little bit about him shortly. But I first want to give you the Tantric Cafe appetizer, and I think it's a very appropriate subject for tonight. A lot of people, when they hear about Tantra, they think it's some kind of kinky or esoteric sex, and they basically go, when I say I teach Tantra, they go, boing, Tantric sex. And that sort of sets things on the not quite correct pace or in the not quite correct distinction, because when people think sex, oftentimes they think porno and they think really like esoteric erotica, and that is really not what Tantra is. And so tonight, my appetizer, I'm going to be talking to you right now about sacred sexual healing, and I'm doing that because that's kind of the lead-in to my guest this evening. So I want to distinguish between what most people, ordinary people, people who have never heard about Tantra before or practiced any Tantra or seen any Tantra, there's a distinction between sex for sex's sake, like just having sex, kind of banging sex, kind of wild sex. There's nothing wrong with that sex. That sex is great. I enjoy it myself. I love it. I've had a lot of it in my life. And Tantric sex, which is not that. Tantric sex has a more sacred aspect to it. It has a slower aspect to it, and it has a healing aspect to it. And I'm emphasizing the healing aspect to it. It is possible to heal one's life, to heal one's issues, to heal one's, you know, old things that happened to them, if you believe in past lives, to heal things that happened between me or you and your parents, to heal things between people and their, you know, ex-husbands, ex-wives, whatever, by having some healing done in a tantric sexual way. And you probably have big question marks going on in your mind now, like, what the hell is she talking about? So I just want to set this up for you so that you know that in the first chakra, which is around the tailbone anus of your body, and in the second chakra, which is your sex area, there are tremendously stored memories of pleasure and pain and security and survival type of issues. And I know I've mentioned these on the show early, in many earlier shows about other topics, but this time, very specifically, I want you to know that working in the first chakra, in the area around the tailbone anus, and working in the second chakra around the sex area, inside and around the sex area, these areas release lots of things that have been stored that have not only been unpleasurable, but may have been traumatic or violations or trespasses in the life. And some of what my guest and I are going to talk about tonight has to do with sacred sexual healing. And he calls it sacred sexual healing arts, that there's actually a training to it and a method to it and a precise type of, you know, result that is wanted from it, that why one would seek this out. And I wanted you to know about that this evening to demystify yet another aspect of Tantra. So that said, If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Tantra Cafe. I'm Laurie Handlers, your host. And my guest this evening, I'm so excited to announce, is Baba Dez, who is in Sedona, Arizona this evening. That's where he is most of the time, although he travels a lot like I do. He is a DACA. That means a male practitioner of Tantra, someone who teaches it and uses it for healing. DACA and Dakini literally means sky dancer in Sanskrit. Anyway, he's a DACA. He's an author and a transformational guide. He's trained in sacred healing arts and to teach, inspire, and support others in their integration of the divine masculine and feminine, Shiva and Shakti energies within themselves. He's the founder of Sedona Temple and the School of Temple Arts and travels the world teaching sacred sexual healing arts. It is his journey to help others deepen in their truth and power, find healing and enjoyment in transformation, and manifest grounded results. Hurrah! I love that. He's currently promoting the release of his book, Sacred Sexual Healing, The Shaman Method of Sex Magic, and his CD, Thank the Moon. So, that said, I'd like to welcome Baba Dez to the show. Are you there, Baba Dez?
I am here.
Good.
Hello?
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 Welcome to Tantra Cafe.
Welcome. Welcome with peace. Welcome with love.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm so glad I got a chance to talk about that sacred healing stuff because, you know, every week I give a demystification and I love telling people that it isn't, you know, what they think it is. It's not exactly, Tantra isn't exactly the Playboy channel. It doesn't exclude that, but it goes so much more sacredly deep and stuff. So, anyway.
No, it's interesting, Laurie, because I feel like that is what happens. You mentioned Tantra and people right away think about sex. And of course that's part of it, but I think you really address that what this is about and what Tantra is truly about is about healing relationships, and I feel like the core relationship that's being healed is our relationship with self.
Yeah.
And how can we use our sexual energy to heal our relationship with our presence? In other words, how present are we in every moment to receive our lives, to receive our relationships, to receive everything? And you know, you're talking about that first chakra energy or that energy that roots us and grounds us on the planet. If we don't have a healthy relationship with our groundedness on the planet, I mean, that's base camp for being able to manifest everything we want. So.
That's exactly true. Yeah, so true, so true. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I love that part in your biography, you know, in your little bio where you say, you know, you want people to manifest grounded results.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
mm-hmm.
so perfect.
Well,
yeah, and you, go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, there's so many things that we do as far as activities, you know, whether we go to workshops or read a book or we're inspired or we do something, and yet what are the, we can bring in the inspiration, we can bring in insights, we can bring in tools, we can learn things, and yet how do we actually take that information or that inspiration and have it really make a difference in our lives? Truly make a difference in our lives, like on the earth plane. How does it affect my relationship? How is it going to actually affect my health with grounded results? How is it going to bring more abundance into my checking account?
Exactly.
That's really the key, and I think that's where people, if they can experience the difference that makes a difference on the earth plane, then they're going to take those things and really, really run with them, really go with them somewhere in their lives. And I feel like that's what sacred sexuality and Tantra has to offer.
They sure do. They sure do. I mean, just what you're saying, my life and the life of my friends, the lives of my friends who have studied right along with me or have been students of mine and become my friends, they're all manifesting what they want. Mm-hmm. And other people are standing in wonderment going, you know, like, how do you have that life? And I know you have that kind of life as well. You travel wherever you want to go. You live in a gorgeous, sacred space. I do, too. I pinch myself and go, oh, I love this life. I really have what I want, and I'm manifesting more and more of what I want. So that's what we want people to have, isn't it?
Well, as tantricas, and I would say even as, you know, I want to make a distinction, because I feel like what's happening with tantra or being a tantrika is that you're actually healing your relationship with power. And there's a lot of people in general have a lot of issues and question marks around who they are as powerful beings, their relationship with power. A lot of people have judgment around power. And if you don't have power or personal power, you're not really going to be able to manifest. And so if you step out of ordinary consciousness and you start seeing into and living in extraordinary consciousness, then what happens is you start healing your relationship with power. And as you heal your relationship with power, that's the engine of manifestation. That's that third chakra energy. It lives in our bellies. And when you start really desiring from that place of power and understanding the alchemy of how to bring that actually with grounded results onto the planet, then, like you said, we start experiencing whole another reality. And what's happening in the news is all this stuff with the economy. And that, you know, everyone's saying, oh, we've got a troubled economy, and there's a lot of problems, and people, you know, people are afraid, and all this stuff's happening with their impacting them personally and financially. And if you step out of that place and you're living in extraordinary reality, the rest of the world is having their reality, and many of us are having a whole parallel reality where the abundance is flowing amazingly.
Exactly. It's an amazing thing to grasp. You know, when I first started taking lessons in Tantra, I didn't know any of this. I really didn't know what was going to happen, and even if my teacher had told me these things, I probably wouldn't have believed them, you know, because I have that New York state of cynicism, you know, kind of New York state of mind thing. And things started to happen and manifest, and they were happening more and more quickly. They were speeding up, and just what you're saying, you know, and I imagine the same for you. All of a sudden, boom, we're plopped into another reality completely, and we're watching the world as it's doing what it's doing and going like, that's funny. I'm not feeling too affected by that. So you're right. Everything that you're saying, it can manifest. For the listeners out there, I really want you to know, I mean, we're not two people who, like, did some drugs and came on to the show tonight to try and tell you about an altered reality. We actually have been breathing and squeezing and doing exercises that lead us to a life where we can create a different reality, the reality we want, instead of the reality that's just handed to us.
Well put.
Yes. Go ahead.
I
wanted to ask you how you first got interested in Tantra. Like, how did you get into it? What happened for you?
Well, before you know, more than Tantra, it was realizing that it was more about sacred sexuality, which is kind of the same thing. And yet I didn't really frame it as Tantra. What I realized is that there was something very powerful about the energy of manifestation. In other words, that primal energy that is so powerful that it can actually create life, that it can actually bring through another being, that through procreation, and I could feel that life force energy moving through my being and in my body, and even as a young man, just feeling that power or that energy or that desire, I knew that it was for something more than just entertainment or having a good time. And, you know, we know, you know, as teachers, we know that there are four different types of sex. There's sex for procreation. There's reproductive sex. There's recreational sex. And those are the types of sex that are in ordinary consciousness. But what piqued my interest is that realizing that we could use our sexual energy for two other kinds of sex, and that is the kind of sex that replenishes, the restorative sex practices, which is what the Taoists teach, and then the the transformational sex, which is more of what the tantric arts are all about, and how to actually use that to increase our power and our God connection and actually start moving in realms where we use that sexual energy to start manifesting something other than just another human being. So, you know, that's how I got started, and one thing led to another, so I started reading and researching and having my own life experience, and in that desire, attracting some amazing teachers through, especially over the last 30 years. Mm-hmm. So I've been really blessed to just, you know, be in that question and keep wanting to know, what is this energy about, and what's the difference that it makes? And as you go, you learn as you go, and it's pretty amazing what can come in as you go.
Well, how would you say that, you know, when you, about what age would you say that you started to have those thoughts of maybe sex was something, there was something more to it?
I'd say when I really linked it up with sex, I was probably about 22.
22, okay.
And I feel it probably would have been, I knew that there was something going on, but I feel like I really somehow started to get the focus and the depth when I was 22. And I feel like it would have come in way before that if there would have been some kind of direction. As young men and women in this culture, because the culture in general is so steeped in guilt and shame and fear around sexuality, that when we step into our sexual awakening when we're 12, 13, 14 years old, we're not met with a lot of powerful information about who we are as sacred sexual beings. There's a lot of whispering. There's a lot of silence. You'll get some basic anatomy maybe if you're lucky, and then the rest of it is just what's whispered in the locker rooms or you know in school, and it's a very juvenile kind of behavior around sexuality, and it's what most adults carry through their entire adult experience. No one really gets the information they need to be powerful manifestors when it comes to our sexuality, and that's what the sacred sexual healing arts or the temple arts are all about. Because at one point in time on this planet, thousands of years ago, there were temples in every major culture. And those temples would teach young men and women how to be powerful sexual beings, and they'd have rites of passage into manhood or womanhood, and then they'd enter the culture as powerful creators. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, thousands of years ago they had it all together, but there was definitely a system that empowered young men and women that was very important that we're really missing today. There's a reason for that, and we can get into that if you want. But what we're really dedicated to and what we're wanting to bring back are those sacred temple arts so that people can step into their power, heal their relationship with power, and start having the kind of lives that they want. Most people in this country feel pretty powerless, and they feel like they're at the whim of whatever the economy and the government and their leaders, and it's time for us to take back our power.
Yes, I couldn't agree with you more. It's beautifully said, beautifully stated. You know, we're gonna break in a couple of minutes. We're gonna cut to a commercial break, but I do want to talk to you. I want to hear what you have to say more about the reasons for that. You just reminded me of a book. It's by, I think it's called The Maiden King, and it's about a Russian, classic poem, I forgot what the, epic poem, and there's an interpretation by Robert Bly and Marion Woodson, and they,
I know exactly what you're talking about.
You do?
Yes, I do. And it talks about Baba Rasa.
And they talk about how Western traditions don't prepare boys and girls for manhood and womanhood, and how their first sexual experience is devoid of spirituality, groundedness, really transcendentalness, and that... So it just becomes this empty thing,
right?
This first sexual experience. Whereas in Eastern cultures or in classical, you know, long ago cultures, historical cultures, there was a connection to things, and people were primed to have that first sexual experience be something like bam.
Yes.
You know, it's just amazing. Your whole statement brought me back to that book.
Well, and it's so true. I mean, as young men and women, we have our first sexual experience, and for a lot of us, it's involved with, you know, there's so much stuff around it, and so much attention and expectation and fear and all these other kinds of stuff that oftentimes the first experiences are so flavored with alcohol or drugs or just so much fear or whatever, and so that flavors the whole experience. And then how can you create a setting where you can actually have, like you said, that transcendental experience? And I.
Yeah.
And I think that was the turning point for me, because when I was about 22 or 23, I had an experience like that. And I went, whoa, I was rocked. And, of course, I remember at the time the partner that I was with, I started sharing with her what my experience was, and it basically scared her, and she went away. It's like, wait a minute, this guy's pretty weird. But the thing is that, hey, this is, you know, it's like, and so I realized that something was going on here. But, you know, it's like when you start tasting power, you're not interested in normal sex anymore.
Right.
Not that it isn't enjoyable and that there isn't a recreational aspect. But when you start realizing the potential of what's there and your eyes are open to it, it's just like, whoa, this is some powerful stuff. How do I use this energy? And so just being in that question has brought the next step and the next step and the next step into remembering a lot of these ancient temple arts, which have been lost. And I know we're going to get into that after the break.
Yeah, this is actually a perfect place for us to break, and we'll come back.
Okay. Great.
And we'll come back and we'll just dive right into that. Mm. So in case you've just tuned in, everyone, you are listening to Tantra Cafe. I'm Laurie Handlers, your host, and my guest tonight is Baba Dez, and we are talking about sacred healing arts and temple arts, and I hope you'll stay with us, and we'll be right back after the break.
Are you feeling like you just don't get it? All this talk about sex and love, love and sex, feeling like all people ever think about and talk about is sex. Maybe you are longing for a more spiritual sexual connection. Hey, maybe you are just totally confused about all of it. Lori Handler's new book, Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy, puts the innocence and love back into sex, and it gives Tantra the respect it truly deserves. In this book, you will discover a wonderful meditation on self-love. You will also find fun new ways to develop an intimacy with yourself, whether or not you have a partner. And now, for only $19.99, you can get your copy of Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy. Right now, go to www.sexandhappiness.com and order your copy. Give yourself the gift.
That's sexandhappiness.com.
Are you someone who's looking for more pleasure in your life and you've never heard of East Garden? East Garden is a comfortable and elegant environment for women to explore the tools of pleasure and other educational materials. These materials enhance mind, body, and spirit. East Garden encourages women to take responsibility for their own sexuality and clearly understand that bodily pleasure and spiritual joy are one and the same. While in New York City, you can visit the store at 119 West 57th Street, Suite 1201. And now, for a limited time, you can get a 15% discount on everything in stock if you go through evesgarden.com/Tantra Cafe. Go there now. Hi again, everybody. Thanks for staying tuned. This is Lori Handler as you're listening to Tantra Cafe on bbsradio.com. And if you'd like to call in, and we'd love it if you would, 888-228-4494 in the U.S. and Canada, 877-489-6350 worldwide, or you can write me a quick fast chat on BBS fast chat on the website. So I'm here with Baba Dez, and we are talking about what happens to boys and girls in this culture and how they're deprived of really some kind of sacred, ceremonial, ritualistic way of, you know, breaking into their sex, like finding their way in sex. Mostly it, it becomes fear-based and other things. And I, you know, I just, we were talking about this book before, The Maiden King, and that also reminded me of something that Osho says, Jez. So let me just say this to you, and then we'll dive into this a little bit more.
Sure.
Osho says that boys and girls are peaking, and we know this anyway, are peaking in their sexual energy from around the time they reach puberty, like 14, until around, you know, 13, 14, like that, until the time they're 21. And that, that should be the time of experimentation of their sexuality, when all those sexual hormones are running rampant. If framed in the right way, you know, with the proper training, that people at those ages could be really, like, having an amazing sexual time, and then at 21 start thinking about what they want to do for a living.
Mm-hmm.
And then at 28 or 30 start thinking about procreating. So I'm just, like, just offering that paradigm up.
Sure.
as we talk about, you know, the ancient arts, the ancient temple arts and stuff. I wonder what that would be like. Wonder what that would have been like. I mean, kids are experimenting now, but it's not like that.
Right. Well, and you know, it's really interesting because, you know, we know that neurologically what happens from the time that we're conceived is that there's different life stages that happen, and we neurologically there are certain completions that happen in our nervous system that we build upon as human beings to really step into wholeness and healthiness and if you will, power. And so what happens, you know, there's a bunch of life stages that happen before puberty as far as bonding with the earth, bonding with your mother, blah, father, community, family, that kind of thing. And those are all different, very important nervous system completions that really need to happen if you're going to be totally present and in your ease. And then when you step into your sexual awakening, it's time to be met with the appropriate energy sexually. And what we get in this culture, rather than what I feel is appropriate, what we get is a lot of silence, guilt, shame, fear. Young men end up bonding with playboy or imagery, and a lot of obsessiveness and silliness. And young women are met with, again, a lot of silence and a lot of fear around their sexuality, being pregnant, STDs, you know, and so we don't really get a clear picture of what's happening. So the next thing that happens is that we then have our spiritual opening, which is usually around 17, 18, 19 years old. And then what we bond with, when we have our spiritual opening, most of us end up bonding with capitalism. rather than any real sense of spirit or spirituality, oftentimes there's that whole thing of, okay, you're in high school, you're going to college, let's be successful, let's make money, you know, get the security, the job, and so, you know, we end up getting strange messages at these PowerPoints where we're supposed to be bonding with something bigger. We get what the culture has to offer us, and unfortunately that's not a whole lot, I feel. And that leads us into kind of like, well, what are the possibilities? What has happened historically in the past? Well, how did we lose that? And what's the nature of bringing it back? So I'd like to share just a little bit of a scenario of what happened in the past, several thousand years ago. Like I said earlier,
yeah.
Every major culture around the world had priests and priestesses and temples where people would come for healing and information, stuff about their crops, about family. They would come to the elders for wisdom, healing, and support, and to create resolution around conflicts. They would send their young men and young women and to the temples to learn the arts of manifestation and communication. What does it mean to be a man? What does it mean to be a woman? And they would learn all these things. And when they'd come out of the temples, sometimes they'd go there for a week or maybe a month. When they come out of the temples, they'd be ready to re-enter the culture and be celebrated by their families and their tribes as empowered adults. So there was a whole recognition that they were no longer children, that they now have been transformed and got the the information and support to really be functional adults in the culture. And it was a very important, empowering time for them. And we don't really have anything like that. I mean, you know, we might have a bar mitzvah or something, or something like that. But generally,
well, in a bar mitzvah, you get a pen. In a bar mitzvah, you know, you get a pen.
Right.
And you get, you know, they give you a pen, and you get your own Bible. You get a Torah. You get certain things, but it's, you don't, you're not a, they don't really
sure.
instruct you in being a man or a bat mitzvah for a girl, you know.
Yeah, bat mitzvah.
And I don't know about anything like that in Christianity. I really don't know.
There's confirmation. There's a confirmation, which is where the Holy Spirit enters you. So there are some rituals, but generally these rituals are, they're kind of a remnant. They're like a token remnant of what used to be. Now there's a reason why we got away from that. And significantly, what happened was there were some very amazing and powerful cultures, and the temples and the whole temple structure was very much intact 2,000 to 3,000 years ago. In Persia, in the Roman Empire, in Greece, and before that in Egypt and other cultures in Middle America and South America, North America. So there were a lot of this kind of information. And what happened specifically in more of the powerful places, in Persia and in Rome, there was a lot of empire building. And there was a lot of emperors and empire buildings and things like that were happening with Genghis Khan, and then of course you have all the whole lineage of Caesar and all that. So there was a lot of intense empire building, and what happened was the empires wanted to maintain control and a certain power structure, and what they realized is that if individuals were in their power and they were free, powerful individuals, they didn't necessarily make good soldiers or good subjects or good pages or good slaves. And so the strategy was that, especially what happened in Rome in the 3rd century with Pope, with Constantine, was there was a an arrangement made where the official religion of Rome became Christianity. And with that came a whole new dogma, which basically it instilled guilt, shame, and fear in the people around their sexuality, around their independence, around their earth connection. And when you have people that are disconnected from their passion, their power, their sexuality, their earth connection, then they can be controlled. And so what's happened over the several thousand years is, and of course, the priests and priestesses in the temples were basically hunted down and silenced. The temples were destroyed. The scriptures, the books, were destroyed and burned. And so a lot of the rituals and a lot of the ways of power were basically undermined and lost and scattered. And this information has gone underground and has, some of it has survived, a lot of it hasn't. And so it's no wonder, now here we are in the year, 2008, several thousand years later, and a lot of what was happening with the empire building isn't necessarily happening anymore, and yet so much of what happened in the Dark Ages and in the Inquisitions, and I mean, there was tremendous slaughter in Persia around the Tantrikas and the temples there, and there was just a lot of information and this wisdom was lost.
So
we're in the process of remembering who we are.
Yeah, exactly what I was going to say. This is how so many people are fear-based and able to be manipulated by fear in current administrations and current governments because mm-hmm. they're so not grounded. If they were grounded, they would feel the earth and they would feel, it would just feel different to them. They wouldn't be panicking.
Right.
There wouldn't be this kind of mass panic that's going on. So this is great. So now, thank you for all that explanation. It's funny that you explained it all. What I always say to people is that people who are sexually free in their own power, in their own sexuality, doesn't mean how many people they're having sex with. It means that they feel free in their sexuality, as in free, unashamed, unguilty, I don't know how to put it in a non-un way, cannot be controlled.
Right.
Once they cannot be controlled, then there's some aspect of freedom, of self-governing, if you will, different from being governed from the outside, from a god outside or from a government outside or from a priest outside or whatever.
Right.
So it seems this is a natural thing then for, in terms of what you're saying, you're offering. You are offering temple arts. You have a school of temple arts.
Yes.
And a shaman method of sex magic or a sacred sexual healing. And it seems like you're wanting to bring back some ancient connection mm-hmm. to temple arts. Yeah?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, what it's really about is cultivating our God connection and finding that inside of us and not going outside of ourselves for that God connection. So how do we really get present in ourselves and become divine conduits, totally aligned with God, totally present on the earth, and not looking outside of ourselves for authority? And so that's what the temple arts do, and that's why it's so important to bring them back on the planet right now.
Perfect. Really,
so
really perfect.
We have a school in Sedona, Arizona. Yeah. And we have a temple, and there are other people that are involved in this movement, and our commitment is to bring the temples back on the planet and to support individuals and their power and their freedom and their groundedness. And you can go online and take a look at SedonaTemple.com, and there's a lot of information there about the temple and what we do and what we offer.
And I've been to the temple.
Classes. Yes, right. You were
I've
here
been
this
to
summer.
Your temple. It's beautiful. I came to the Aww. Temple to just see it, to see if it was someplace that I wanted to work at, and I do. I'm going to plan to do some workshops there, and it's really a beautiful space. You have flowing water, and you have like a nice big house that has behind it, you know, pools and
mm-hmm.
hot tubs and things, and just a really wide open space. It's beautiful.
Thanks. Meeting rooms. And, you know, Sedona is just a beautiful place, and it's a powerful place to do any kind of work like this, shamanic work like this. So we're taking advantage of the energies in the area, and it's a great place for people to come and retreat and to deepen and to, you know, we work with so many people that are, you know, in their 20s or 30s or 40s or 50 or even 60 years old, 70 years old, and they are finally getting the information and the initiation that they should have got when they were 13, 14, 15 years old. And it's never too late to step into your power, step into your passion, and really retrieve your God connection.
What a powerful message. This is so beautiful. You know, last week my guest was Veronica Monet, who the topic was the sacred prostitute.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to tell her about these temples and how coins were used. And I don't even, one of my guests, Paula Gloria, was talking about how
mm-hmm.
the priests and the priestesses in the temples gave people coins, and these coins were, and they had sexual rituals that were meant to increase the abundance of the crops, and
right.
that they used all this manifestation power. And tonight you're talking about it, and you're really giving the whole history.
Well,
I hope Veronica's listening. I don't know.
Well, Veronica's wonderful. She's wonderful, and you know, there's a whole movement of different. There's the whole Magdalena Priestess process. There's a lot of movements now that are coming together that are bringing back this. And I feel like it's time for us to remember, as the people who we are, to usher back in an era of health, of healing, of power, of people being in their joy and in their love and in their happiness. It's time to come back into out of the dark ages into the light, and I feel like that's really what's happening. And it's a little challenging right now because it's kind of like a time to choose. And so I'm really wanting to support people to make a choice. And what are they waiting for? And the time is now. And mm-hmm. and we get to choose now to step back into our power and reclaim what all there is. And you know, it's when you mention freedom, when you mention money, when you mention power, when you mention abundance, when you mention sex, a lot of people get nervous. You know, they just kind of get nervous. It's a conditioned response.
Yeah.
And you know, I've noticed over the years, you know, I've been teaching a lot of this information for 25 years, and it's starting to get easier. But I remember 25 years ago going into places and speaking about the power of our sexuality, and people would just kind of, they'd either get really ruffled and kind of move away. Some people would get interested. But it's become a human thing to talk about and share about. And yet, because of this underlying energetic around what we've been calling as guilt, shame, and fear around who we are as sexual beings, what happens is it just kind of disconnects us. And I'll be halfway through a talk and I'll notice half the room is falling asleep and the other half of the room is on the edge of their seats. And so I often ask myself, what's happening in the neurology of these people? Why is half of the room perking up and excited and the other half of the room falling asleep?
It just depends on how embarrassed, how much shame, how much guilt, how much punishment probably was attached to whatever their early explorations were in the messages that they got at home. It's quite amazing.
Right.
We need to break again now. So... I know, you and I, we could talk about this forever. So we will be back in a moment, and we'll pick it up where we left off. We're going to break now to give our sponsors a chance to speak, and we're going to hear some music, and we'll be right back. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Tantra Cafe. My guest tonight is Baba Dez, and we are having a grand old time talking about getting free. See you in a moment. I, Lori Handler, personally invite you to come with me on a tantric tour of the heart of India, November 19th to December 1st, 2008. You'll see the Taj Mahal and visit the fabulous Fatehpur Sikri, home of the great Mughal king Akbar. You'll experience Jaipur, the pink city, and visit the sacred lake of Pushkar. Then, at dawn from a boat on the Ganges in Varanasi, you'll see exquisite Hindu prayer rituals. You'll tour Sarnath, where the Buddha gave his first speech after attaining enlightenment, and then you'll explore the exotic Kama Sutra temples of Khajuraho. Finally, you'll shop till you drop in the Paraganj Bazaar in New Delhi. Throughout the tour, you'll learn tantric techniques and principles, and I promise you'll feel a tremendous sense of well-being as we delve into these simple yet potent tantric tools. Please note that no previous experience with Tantra or yoga is necessary. I invite you to join me in this unique experience touring the incredible country of India. And I must warn you, this is not your typical tour, and you are not a typical tourist.
For more information about this exciting tantric tour of the heart of India, contact Lori at butterflyworkshops.com or write to her at info@butterflyworkshops.com.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Tantra Cafe, a program for spiritual enlightenment on bbsradio.com. I'm Lori Handler, your host, and I'm here today with Baba Dez, who is a Dhaka and an author and a teacher of teachers. He is somebody who's very much inspiring me this evening, and I hope he's inspiring you about a school of temple arts and sacred sexual healing. before we get back into our conversation, I just want to tell you that the music you were just listening to is a piece called Shaman Sky, and it's by Jeffrey Gordon on the Yoga Trance Dance CD. And really what you heard, you maybe heard some strange tones, and that was a type of chanting which people do. They open their throat and they make two sounds at the same time. And it's some people call it throat singing, and other people call it overtones, being able to sing with overtones. And I played that specifically in honor of Baba Dez, because he is working with shamanism, with modern-day shamanism, and also because chanting is one of the methods of sexual healing and sacred sexuality and tantra. Like, chanting on parts of the body has an amazing effect. Chanting has an amazing effect on my body when I chant myself, and people who chant have produce some amazing grounding results. And also chanting on another. You could chant on another being, your partner, your lover. You could chant on your animal, your cat, your dog, your horse, whatever. You can chant and begin to produce different results in the different power centers of the body, the chakras, by making different sounds. So that's why I played that this evening. So, Des, we're back, and we're talking now. I want to ask you some questions about, you know, we just talked about the history and how governments or people who were building dynasties were trying to control us. And so what exactly, if you can say, some of the modalities that you use or some of the pieces of the course of study would you say you use in your school of temple arts in terms of bringing back prehistory, like things that were before the dynasties? Like, what kinds of things would people study at your school?
Sure. Well, a good example is the chanting you just mentioned. Chanting is one of the temple arts, singing, and all kinds of oration. So you know, a lot of the arts are vocal. The temple arts include everything that includes powerful living. So you know, part of what we touch on is diet, nutrition, organic farming, and healthy food. Our relationship with our food and the earth is very important. We kind of touched on that earlier. And if we don't have a solid earth connection and a healthy understanding and a groundedness with our food, then we're always running a kind of a low-grade anxiety. Most people, when they think about food in this culture, they think it comes from the supermarket. And so there's a real disconnect with the food actually coming from the earth. So there's a lot of that kind of stuff. There's a lot of modalities that have to do with, you mentioned the sound mudras, there's hand mudras, there's visualizations. There's a lot of work around breath work. A lot of techniques just around who we are as sexual beings. For instance, how we touch ourselves, how we touch our beloved or our partners. As a man, what are the empowered ways that we touch women energetically, emotionally, physically? There's so many arts around just that. As a woman, how do we reach out and touch our beloveds, our men in our lives, emotionally, physically, energetically? And so to learn all these different modalities and all these different ways, what's the appropriate way as parents and adults that we actually support and nurture our children to be empowered beings? How do we support them to bond appropriately with the earth, with family, with culture, with other children?
Beautiful.
And it goes on and on and on and on. So when you're a young man or when you're a boy or a girl, you to really have a healthy relationship with the earth, you know, you witness things growing. You're in this place of learning so much about who you are as a human being and how connected are you to a lot of the foundational things that are just so important to have as a human being on this planet. So the Templars reflect all of that. And a lot of what we're doing now is we're supporting people to to have their own healing. But then once you're able to start traversing territory and reclaiming your own power, then you can start supporting others to start doing their healing and reclaiming their power. So we have a lot of programs that touch into the healing arts. What does it mean to be a Dakar or a Dakini, or what we call a spiritual sexual shaman? And so we teach classes on spiritual sexual shamanism and how to really do that kind of work and create a strong foundation in yourself and in your community to be able to start doing all these things. So there's classes. There's a one-week intensive. There's a 30-day apprenticeship program. We have a course on temple building for those people who are wanting to actually that are feeling a calling to bring the temples back on the planet. Then we offer, you know, more kind of introduction beginner classes and things like just, you know, Tantra 101 or sacred sexuality or, you know, classes for young men and young women, classes for couples to deepen their relational skills, their communication skills, maybe to bring more breathe new life into their relationship. Maybe they've been together for 10, 20, 30 years and their relationship starts lacking passion. How do they rekindle the love and the passion in their relationship? So there's a lot of different ways to, at the school and at the temple, to support people to breathe more life and power into their existence here on the planet. And that's basically what we're doing.
It sounds like you've got a lot of bases covered and very good ones. I mean, like, just not good like judgment, but more like very thorough, like a lot of different topics there for people to find out about. Now, if someone wanted to find out about you, I know you mentioned the website before. They would go to SedonaTemple.com.
Right.
That's Sedona as in Sedona, Arizona, so
yes.
SedonaTemple.com. And then what about your individual website?
I have a personal website, and that's mm-hmm. babadez.com. That's B-A-B-A, like Baba, Dez, D-E-Z.com. And there's more information on me there, and the two websites are kind of linked together. And so there's a lot to find out there. You can also go online to either website, and you can order the new book that just came out this year. And that's Sacred Sexual Healing, the Shaman Method of Sex Magic.
And, yeah, I want to talk about that. I want to know
okay.
a little bit about, first of all, I just want to have people be able to contact you. So if you want to contact Baba Dez and you're hearing this show, you'd want to write to him at info@SedonaTemple.com. That way you would get an email to him. Now, if you, tell us a little bit about the book, like if you can give us a kind of a brief sentence about or a few on how is this book, Sacred Sexual Healing, the Shaman Method of Sex Magic, how is this different from other Tantra books or self-help books?
What we wanted to do is we wanted to make it really accessible to just about anyone, and yet what's really different about it is that there are practices in this book that have not been in print anywhere else. Today anyway, maybe in some of those books that were destroyed thousands of years ago, maybe some of this
sure.
is in there. But the feedback we've gotten is that it's written very simply. It's fun to read. There's a lot of humor in it, and it speaks just right into what we can do, what we never really got when we were young men and women. So it kind of starts out with some basic practices. Some of the visualizations, some of the empowerment arts about how to reclaim ourselves physically, sexually, emotionally. And I feel like probably the biggest gift in the book is how important it is for us to reconnect with our emotional bodies. And when I say emotional bodies, I'm mostly speaking into that part of ourselves that I would call the feminine aspect or the divine feminine aspect. And so as a responsible spirit, and when I say spirit, I think more of the masculine traits, how can we embrace that feminine aspect in us and hold space for it in that healthy masculine place? Because really what sacred sexuality is about and what magic is about is it's about the sacred union. And the sacred union is something that happens inside of each of us. And to the degree that it happens inside of us, it happens outside of us. So if we're wanting to have a magical, powerful, sacred relationship in our lives externally, what we need to do is we need to cultivate that inside of ourselves. And so by having a healthy mind and being able to embrace what's happening with our emotional bodies, then what happens is we start propelling the engine of manifestation. And I don't want to lose people here, but I know a lot of your listeners have probably heard or seen What the Bleep or perhaps The Secret. There's some pretty popular documentaries in the last few years. And they talk about how our thoughts and our emotions affect matter. And we know today what Tantricas have known for thousands of years, that's quantum physics. How just witnessing something can change its behavior. And so as we start bringing conscious awareness into our lives, and we start looking about, really feeling into and looking at what our thoughts are about and what's happening for us emotionally, then we can take that, that's the emotional body. And I feel like The Secret is just starting to touch on it. And I feel like what this book is about is it's about the secret behind the secret. It
Beautiful.
Really speaks, it speaks
Beautiful.
Into how to do it. You know, so rather than saying, well, this is the way that it's done, or, you know, our thoughts and our emotions affect matter. Well, the most powerful way that we can affect matter is through our emotional bodies and through our sexuality. It's one of the most passionate expressions that we have as human beings. So how do we harness that energy and turn it into a prayer and actually put it out into the universe and allow the universe to fill our desires? And that's what this book does.
Well, thank you. I mean, it sounds brilliant. I'm looking forward to getting my copy. I know that you and I are having a book exchange.
Yeah, and I look forward to getting yours too.
You're sending me a book, and I'm sending you mine, and and I'm really excited to read it. I want to go back to what you were saying about the masculine holding the emotional body, the feminine. You know, when I started studying Tantra, I had no idea what I was stepping into. None. I just knew that I needed something. I was in a kind of breakdown in my life, and I was leaving corporate America, and my body was kind of broken down, and emotionally I was breaking up with somebody. So it was very emotional drama time, you know, drama. And I didn't really know what I was stepping into. And let's say 8 years later, you know, well, maybe more, 10 years later, because I started consciously in 1996. I'm sure I started unconsciously in the 60s, but I consciously started Tantra in 1996.
Wow.
And I woke up one day just a few years ago, maybe 4 years ago, and I noticed that the masculine and feminine in me, the divine of both, were married. I just know, it's just like a thing. I woke up and I went, oh. It wasn't like I read about it and then tried to put it into practice. I just noticed it was so. And my life is taken on completely different aspects of living ever since the noticing and distinguishing of that.
Well, it's interesting that you mention that, because it was around that time, four years ago or so, that I found out about you. And I heard through some of my associates, some of my students, that there's this woman on the East Coast doing some really wonderful work in your butterfly workshops. So I started hearing a lot of good things about you. And that doesn't happen unless there's some kind of integration. And there isn't, you know, that's the nature of what happens when you start moving in that alchemical process and that sacred union starts to happen in your being. Your cup, you get very full, your cup starts overflowing, and you start impacting people's lives in a really positive way. And
right,
so I, you know, that got back to me, and I'm always wanting to meet beings of power, so it's been a pleasure.
Well, thank you for acknowledging that. Thanks for saying that. I didn't really know. I mean, I know who told me about you, but the same person tells me about a lot of people, Alan Steinfeld.
Good old Alan.
Yeah, he suggested that I come see you in Philly that time.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know. It just, I just noticed that things have shifted, and things grow exponentially without a lot of effort. You know, I've put in lots of effort, of course, in my life, but now it seems like whatever effort I put out comes back tenfold, a hundredfold
yes.
more than the one for one or 100 to 1, you know.
Mm, I feel like that's a real significant point there, because what happens when you start moving from that place, and you know, from ordinary consciousness, it seems like magic. But what happens is you start manifesting because your passion is activated. You've healed that second chakra relationship with passion, and you're putting out effort, but it's not trying. It's just moving through you with so much joy and so much bliss, and ease in a way. I mean, it looks like you're busy doing a lot of stuff, but it's your passion, so it's almost effortless, and it's such a wonderful way to witness things happen.
Well, the listeners don't know, but on the break, you and I both acknowledged, isn't it great to live like from your passion and just like love. I love what I do. I love loving what I do. You love what you do. And I said to you, I pinch myself every day. Who ever thought that life could be like this? I certainly never did. I just kind of lucked into it. I stepped into it out of who knows what, you know.
It's contagious, Lori. It's happening more and more and more. And the people who are listening to the show and picking up the books that we've written and doing their work, and they're stepping more into what I call the magic of the sacred union, that's truly embodying divine and really bringing in the essence of what was actually being communicated through the Christ and the Magdalene. I mean, that's really what it's about. And again, it's that same story that's being played out about the sacred union, about the masculine, feminine, Shiva and Shakti, Krishna and Radha. When that happens inside of our beings, then we tap into that magical flow of life where ease and abundance start to happen. And when our cups start overflowing, then we start blessing our families and our tribes and our communities and the world, and that's the place of living from that connected place. And when we start doing that in mass, what happens is we start manifesting heaven on earth. And that's where I want to live.
Amen.
And that's why I'm doing what I'm doing. That's
Me
why
too.
I'm supporting. I'm saying, come on, people, wake up. Let's go, you know. Come on. It doesn't have to be a struggle. It doesn't have to be hard. We don't need to be in competition and fear and pain and all that kind of stuff. So it's like look inside and feel the feelings and start embracing the emotional body, because it's that place of fear. There is a wound. There is a separation for many of us. If there isn't, there isn't. Then we're already in our joy. But if you're not already living in your joy and bliss, then you need to stop and breathe and tune inside to your being to find out, what is it that I need to bring myself into my ease, into my joy, into my bliss, to have the Holy Spirit moving through me so that divine is manifesting through me and really blessing this world with the uniqueness of how divine expresses itself through each of us individually. And you can't
do
that.
And we want that now.
Yeah.
We want that now.
You can't do that unless you're connected and you polish your link. And that's what sacred sexuality and the tantric arts do. These shamanic arts support you to polish that link with divine and become that divine conduit so that we can manifest heaven on earth.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, here we are. We're at the end of our time. That was such a perfect, it was your last statement was just so perfect. So let me just reiterate for the listeners, and before we sign off, I just want to let everyone know, if you've just tuned in or you tuned in late to the show, I'm Lori Handlers, this is Tantra Cafe, and you were listening to my guest, Baba Dez, who is very articulate about this whole subject of sacred sexuality, all the things we've talked about on this show before, and really tying it all together, like just in a big, beautiful bundle of heaven on earth. If you want to get in touch with him, you can go to one of two websites, babadez.com, babadez.com, or sedonatemple.com. You can write to him at info@sedonatemple.com, and you can order his book, which is Sacred Sexual Healing, The Shaman Method of Sex Magic. He also has a CD called Thank the Moon. If you want to get in touch with me, you can write to me at info@butterflyworkshops.com. You can tune in to my podcasts on tantracafe.com. And you also can order my book, which is Sex and Happiness, the Tantric Laws of Intimacy. It has been my pleasure. Pardon?
Yay. Hey, Lori, do we have a minute to mention the conference next weekend?
Oh, yeah. Quickly mention the conference. Sure.
There's a conference and gathering of sacred sexual healers and people interested in the sacred sexual healing arts and perhaps how to learn those things. And if you go to the Sedona Temple website on the events page, it tells you where it is. It's in Virginia Beach. It's the 17th, 18th, and 19th. We have a lineup of amazing teachers Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And it's a place for people who do this work to network and to maybe look into the possibility of integrating the sacred sexual healing arts into your practice or into your life. Maybe you're inspired to become a docker or a dakini. It's a great place to check it out, and we invite you all to come to Virginia Beach.
And I would suggest that people would look at the events page on your website at any time, because some people may listen to the show much later. You know, they may go on and listen to podcasts later. So if they want to know about any of your conferences and the events coming up, they should go to Sedona Temple, look at your events page, and find out what's going on.
Yeah, and everyone who knows Lori and knows her work, come to Sedona and come to Lori's workshop at the Sedona Temple next year.
To be announced soon. So, Baba Des, thank you so much for being my guest this evening.
It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, a pleasure. And I will see you soon. We'll be speaking soon. And everybody else, tune in to Tantra Cafe next week and be surprised. I have another lineup of amazing people coming on the rest of the month. Thank you and good night.
Thank you.
Namaste.
Blessings.